Welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Wade Gershon with you here on this Wednesday. It's early October, and of course that means fall weather and football. Nick Lecky, former K-Stater and former NFL player, is with us. We've had him on the show before talking Chiefs and K-State, and certainly some things to be excited about with both of those teams, and he's with us here today on the Sports Ticket. Nick, you pretty excited about where things are going with both teams?
I'm really super stoked. The Chiefs are just continuing where they left off last year. And I think that's really cool because sometimes, you know, you don't reach that where you have these high aspirations and then you come out and everything looks good in the off season, you have the right players, right people, and you come out and just, you know, you can't doing a great job of keeping his offense simple and then opening it up when he needs to. And I think the control of the game is just unreal, where he was able to ice the game in Baltimore with the first down and the game-winning drive in the fourth quarter versus the Lions to ice the game, you know, with 2:21 left on the 21-yard line. It's just really cool to see. And then on the flip side, you look at K-State, where huge road win at Mississippi State and then huge road loss in Stillwater, which is, you know, just it's tough that Malik Knowles is, you know, your offense and, you know, able to stretch the field and just Okie State come out and just basically just dominated the offensive and defensive lines. And it's just a tough game to watch. And compound that with all the beautiful pleasure of ESPN Plus was fantastic.
Nick Lecky, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Well, let's go back and let's start with the Chiefs. As you mentioned, the drive there at the end of the game to beat Detroit. I'm sure you've probably seen it, Patrick Mahomes, with his talk to his team on the sideline there late in the ball game. And what's amazing to me, and it just gives me goosebumps when I was watching this on social media yesterday, is that Patrick Mahomes just turned 24, and he's a leader of men. He's a leader of men. He's the guy that leads them out of the tunnel. And I remember back last year when we had some people on talking about Chiefs, that these players, veterans, guys that are 10, 15 years older than Patrick Mahomes, they immediately gravitated towards him, even though he only had one NFL start before last season in training camp. They just knew, he's our guy, we're going to follow him. And how could you argue with the things he said, like we saw yesterday on social media?
It's so cool. Like, anytime, whether you're young or old, I mean, if you're in that quarterback position and you show some skill and you have that desire where, hey, I'm out here working my butt at practice and I'm in the film room trying to digest everything and I'm in contact with Andy Reid, and it's an awesome thing to see. It truly is. And when you guys got that much talent too, and people just lead, like they just follow. They say, hey, you know, I might be 10 years older than you, but I respect the hell out of you, and I really like what you're doing, and I'm gonna get behind you because you're gonna lead us in the right direction.
What was great about that message was that basically, for me to read between the lines on it, was we're gonna win this team together as a team. We can't go out and try to do it by ourselves. We believe in one another. And I would imagine, since you played on many great football teams, that leadership is so much more important than people might realize.
It really is. I mean, and especially having strong leaders who, you know, you can. It's one thing to be a leader in good times, but when you're down and out, and when you have that power to just to believe in yourself, believe in your team, it's infectious. And once you have that ability and skill, and you show it on the field, then people are like, "All right, we can do this." And especially on the sideline, man. I mean, to get people together, sometimes it's cheesy when, you know, you're down by, you know, four touchdowns, and, you know, it's like 4 minutes left, and you're like, dude, don't give me a rah-rah speech right now. I mean, this is, you know, this is kind of, you know, I'm an eternal optimist, even then it's out of hand. But then they were close, you know, and I think, you know, Mahomes and company and the offense have been struggling all day, you know, for the first three quarters, just weren't putting it together. I think, I mean, you've got to really, really tip your cap to the defense for coming out in the second half and, you know, first and goal from the 5 or the 10-yard line, and, you know, the defense shuts down the Lions twice. They give up one touchdown, and then defense scored a touchdown. So, I mean, defense, hell of a game from them in the third quarter to really spark the offense. And then fourth quarter, man, Chiefs' offense just took over. It was great to see.
Yeah, that's a good point, because the defense was on the field most of that third quarter. It was a wild and weird third quarter. The offense was hardly out there, and you're right, they held their own and then some. What's your biggest concern with this team right now? I think typically people will say, well, it's the defense, or in particular the rush defense. What's your biggest concern with the Chiefs right now, despite a 4-0 start?
And I would say running in between the tackles. I mean, I think if Detroit would have opted to do that, they would have scored three times.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I guess they tried one on the fumble return. But I think just you got to stick to that run game versus the Chiefs and just say, hey, listen, man, you gotta we're going to run this until you stop it, right? Because it really didn't have many answers. I mean, but at the same time, you look at that defensive line, man. You know, you got Ogba, Chris Jones, Nnadi. Those guys are some stout run stuffing guys, especially when it gets down to the goal line. You know, they're a tough team to score on for sure. And then you look at the offensive side of the ball. Is I like to see a little bit more consistent run game with the offense, right? Where you know, get some more action to Williams and get some more action to LeSean McCoy. And so I would say just running the ball both offensively and defensively are the issues that I can see with the Chiefs right now.
Certainly this is a little bit nitpicky, but it could come into play. And I've heard some folks on Sports Talk Radio that have basically just kind of – it's kind of a free pass. It annoys me a little bit because I think Andy Reid's a really good coach, and he's the best play caller in football, I think, right now. It helps to have great players, but you also have to have great players to win championships or to get to the Super Bowl. And Andy knows that as well as anybody. What he's done with Mahomes and the fact that this organization – I recognize that that's the guy we wanted, moved up 17 spots in draft to get him. All the credit in the world to the Chiefs organization, the front office, and to Andy Reid. Having said that, I've heard Andy Reid say before that the great thing about Patrick Mahomes is he doesn't make the same mistake twice. He learns from it. But yet Andy Reid, in back-to-back weeks, basically the same mistake right before halftime, which is really concerning to me. Not that I'm going to worry that the whole season's going to come down to it. I hope it doesn't. And he managed the clock very well with that offense at the end of the ball game on Sunday. And in fairness to Andy Reid, last year clock management really wasn't nearly as big of an issue for the Chiefs. But I do sit here and go, why aren't we using a timeout with 20 some seconds left, Baltimore late in the game or late in the first half, so we can get multiple chances to score a touchdown instead of settling for a field goal? Why do we sit with a timeout in our back pocket, 26 seconds the receiver goes down, we don't call a timeout, and then we end up not using a timeout and we settle for a field goal and Patrick Mahomes only gets one snap from 26 seconds onward? Isn't that something the Chiefs have to clean up a little bit in case it comes down to a tight game when points are a premium?
You can look at it. You can look at it from both ways. We can say that's an issue and it definitely needs to get cleaned up. Or you can look at it and say, hey, listen, you know, I think, you know, these defenses are getting a lot of pressure on us. And I think this is the time where they're going to dial up that big pressure. Or it's like, you know, why prevent a pick or give them momentum if we're getting that ball in the halftime? You know, coming up in the second half. So it's one of those things where you look at it and go, okay, we could go for this and, you know, possibly risk injury and not really give us time to let our offense progress and mature and develop into a drive, get our feet settled. And you can say, you know what, we're going to limit the hits and we're going to settle for 3 points. And then, you know, I know Chiefs got the ball in the third quarter and Detroit fumbled it. And then Baltimore, I forget. I totally forget if the Chiefs got the ball in the second half. But I think you got to look at that aspect and say, hey, all right, we get the ball in the third quarter. Let's just try and get three easy points, and let's try to limit hits to all players.
Yeah, the reason I was a little bit critical of it was Butker had already missed a 36-yarder, so it wasn't, you know, guaranteed. And then I'm sitting here with Mahomes. I'm like, man, that's the best player in football right now. He should give that offense as many snaps as you can. So let me put you in the role. You were offensive lineman, obviously, in college and pros. If you're an offensive lineman in that situation, because we've seen Mahomes frustrated both weeks. He's looking at the bench like, you know, and he doesn't apparently have the authority to call a timeout on his own yet. I think that's coming here pretty soon, probably. And yeah, I would be happy if he did. But as an offensive lineman, and you guys are, you're probably thinking, let's just score, score, score. We got a great offense. Let's go get our seven. And then all of a sudden, you let 20 seconds off the clock. Aren't you, as offensive lineman, wondering a little bit why you didn't call a timeout?
Oh, yes. If you're in the game, I mean, when you're in the game, you're worried about, your only concern is what play is called, right? And we're going to do that. And then if you're sitting there and you're watching the second tick off in the first half and you're like, hey, we got the ball, let's do this thing, you're definitely pissed for sure. But then you got to trust that your coach is going to take good care of you and is going to get those easy points. And I think it's also important, too, especially with Butker missing that field goal, is to get him back out there in a non-pressure situation, mm-hmm, end of a first half, and let him get that confidence back with a nice, easy kick. That way, if you need him in the fourth quarter, they did, he's able to make that he's got his confidence back.
Sure. Interesting perspective. I appreciate that. Nick Lecky, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, played college pro ball, of course, and K-State and the Chiefs. He does that. He's covering both, man, this year, giving us insight. And the Chiefs are off to that 4-0 start. When you look at their schedule, Indianapolis won't be easy Sunday night. I think they're better than people think without Andrew Luck. The Texans come to town. They have all kinds of problems on offense protecting Deshaun Watson. At Denver on a Thursday, Green Bay, Minnesota at home. Four of the next five games are at home for the Chiefs, which doesn't guarantee you you're going to win all those games. But where do you think the Chiefs could stumble, or do you think they're going to be undefeated 12-0 going into New England?
Well, I mean, you look at the blueprint that Matt Patricia and the Lions laid down versus the Chiefs on Sunday, and it's you know, we're going to come with pressure. We're going to come with I think on our BJ Kissel and I's podcast, In the Trenches, BJ gave me a cool stat, and it was I think they brought like a zero blitz five times during the game that the Lions did, and I believe that they got home. They got either a pressure or a sack on a couple of those. So that's going to be something the Chiefs are going to have to stop. And once they stop it, once they score versus that, they won't see it again. But until they stop, the teams are going to get pressure that way. There were also some concerns about the Lions running a three-man pressure and getting to the quarterback. So that's something that got cleaned up in the fourth quarter with Mahomes essentially taking a 10-yard drop, which is unheard of. But the team was prepared for it. The tackles were prepared for it, and they blocked accordingly.
As a former offensive lineman, how would you grade the line so far for the Chiefs this year through four games?
So I would say not perfect. Definitely a work in progress. I mean, it's tough when you lose, you know, your all-pro left tackle. I mean, you know, with Eric Fisher, him out. But I think Cam Irving stepped in. He's done a great job. I mean, he had to step in, you know, after the fourth play in the game 2 weeks ago. Versus Baltimore, that was tough. That was a tough situation to be put in. But they're getting a job done when it counts. Like, to me, it's like, you know, like, I was frustrated with them in Baltimore, and I was frustrated with the Lions. But then once it came down to it, right, when you need your group to perform, which was closing out the Baltimore game when you got the ball, you know, getting that one first down in the fourth quarter, and then that two-minute drive to win the game, you know, they stepped up. And whatever happens before that, if you can step up in crunch time and get the job done, then I believe you pass the mirror test, which is you look in the mirror and say, did a hell of a job today. We won the game, and when it counted, we got it. So that's all you can really judge them based off of.
All right, two-part question for you, Nick, and then we'll move on to Kansas State. One, do you feel like this is the year for the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl and win it all? And two, do you think the Chiefs will make a move before the trade deadline to try to strengthen the defense?
You know, I definitely think that this is the year. I think expectations are at an all-time high. And a lot of people use the comparisons of the Royals, where they made it to the World Series and then lost it and came back the next year even more hungry. I think that's the case here, is because, you know, you're five or six plays away from beating New England at home and, you know, going to the Super Bowl and playing, you know, what should have been the Saints, but, you know, the Rams, and very, very winnable games that Mahomes last year, you know, gave up some bad interceptions and a pick six, and they barely lost in L.A. So I thought that would have been a great matchup. And then having that success, yeah, your expectations are definitely win the Super Bowl or bust. So, yeah. And then with regards to, was it the K-State?
The trade for the Chiefs, like, do you think they'll make a move?
Yeah. I think Veach and Company and Spagnuolo and Andy Reid, I think they're always looking for potential. I mean, you know, they made some cap space available early on in the season. And it's one of those things where, you know, we never know what players are injured fully and need the full extent of their injury. So there could be some areas of concern, always secondary, they're always looking at to see. But you never know. I would say most likely trades are done for defensive guys because it's easier to pick up mid-season defensive playbook than it is to learn an entire offensive playbook. You know, it's kind of a lot more to digest. But then you also can look at a guy who, anyone who's been in the Andy Reid system, can come in and play this offense too. So, you know, you always want to be surprised or not surprised. You should be ready.
Right. Nick Leckie, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Of course, he played at Kansas State University, had a terrific career there, and Kansas State off to a 3-1 start. And I would imagine you're pretty excited about what's happening there with the football program. You know, obviously a bummer losing last week to Oklahoma State, but it's not the end of the world. And as we've said before, especially with new coaches, people can be very impatient. It's a process. It's going to take a little bit of time. But K-State had a lot of success early. And how do you feel about this new coaching staff? And is it refreshing to see what K-State's been able to do this year?
It really is. I mean, I think one thing, I just love Klieman's attitude because it mimics Snyder, but in his own way. Where Snyder is tough, the tough, silent type, I think Coach Klieman is the tough, like, talkative type.
Mm-hmm.
Where and that's a natural fit for Klieman moving just a couple states south for him and keeping that Midwest mentality or that Great Plains mentality, however you want to look at the geography of it. And it's a perfect fit for K-State. I mean, I think even if Leavitt or Venables would have been available, I like Klieman the best because his attitude is everything. And him dealing with a limited budget in K-State is helpful versus Leavitt coming from Oregon, Clemson, where they have no budgets.
Right.
So I think it's a good fit.
What are your worries right now with the team here in 2019 after that loss to Oklahoma State?
Yeah, and then even with that, I mean, after the Okie State loss, it's not like a major earth shattering thing.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, hey, you know, we lost, we got out schemed, outmatched, and you know, we're going to go on and try and beat Baylor now. I love that mentality.
So when you look at this team, I mean, they were struggled offensively. Knowles, of course, didn't play. The defense kept them in the game against Oklahoma State, even though they gave up a lot of yardage rushing to Hubbard. But we kind of talked about with the Chiefs, the concerns here and there that you might have to keep an eye on, you addressed those. But what about Kansas State in your eyes?
So I think with Kansas State, I mean, just got to stick to the run game, you know. And I think it's important to, especially with the run game, is, you know, have your power plays, right, that's old tried and true and everything like that. But then you also have to have quick hitters. You have to have downhill plays in between the tackles. I mean, really take advantage of K-State's got a really big offensive lineman. They're really physical and they're really experienced. And I think if you can just stick with that, like, you shouldn't be so quick to abandon the run game. And it's just, I'd also like to see Holcomb. I mean, I think internet, the social media age is so different, but seeing Holcomb catching passes before the game was like, oh, there's an option down in the goal line. I mean, there's an option, you know, as a wide receiver. And it's like, he knows the route structures. He knows the blitz pickups. I mean, why not put him at wide receiver? You know, get him involved a little bit more.
Yeah. As many playmakers you put on the field, the better, no doubt. All right, Nick, time for the off-the-wall question before we let you go. It's an interesting story here. Miami Dolphins are not having a good season, as we know. They're really struggling. Some people have accused them of tanking. There's a story that's coming out of Miami that a vendor at the stadium, 33-year-old Nathaniel Collier, so I'll just call him Nate for short, reportedly tried to take hundreds from an unsuspecting Dolphins fan by charging him $724 for two beers. So, you're off the wall question, Mr. Leckie. Of course, we know at ball games, beers can be a little bit high priced, but that's a little bit ridiculous. And I know the Dolphins are having a rough year, and maybe somebody says it's worth it to drown those sorrows after watching the Dolphins play football this year. But my off the wall question to you, Nick, is what's the most you've ever paid for a beer?
I think a better question is, I think it's like, what's the most you ever paid for bourbon?
Okay, well, we could change it. We can ad lib. Sure, let's do that.
So, I was in Nashville. I was in Nashville for the K-State Vanderbilt game.
Okay,
and went to the Oak Bar at the Hermitage Hotel, and they had a bottle of you can't even get it in storage; it's discontinued. So it's, you know, 5-10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it's Jefferson Presidential 18 Single Barrel Presidential Select.
Okay.
And I paid $100 a drink for it.
$100 a drink? It's not $100 a bottle, $100 a drink?
$100 a drink.
Wow. Holy cow.
So that was my one indulgence where I've ever been like, you know what, screw it. You know, here in Vanderbilt. I believe like someone like my one of our buddies had like paid for dinner. And so I was like, we should try this. I'm like, how much is it? And she told me it was like $100. And I'm like, each? And she's like, yep. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. So yeah, most I've ever paid. I'm only mildly embarrassed.
Can you cut me a deal 2 for $150? What do you say?
But the cool thing was though is after we did that, right? The bartender let us taste a bunch of these other rare bourbons they had in there.
Uh-huh.
So it was pretty cool. So I feel like I got my money's worth with that $100 drink.
Well done. Yeah, that's awesome. Well done on her part too to make you feel like
I agree.
That was great.
It did.
I think she pulled one on you there, Nick, but hey, it worked apparently.
Oh, she definitely did. I was privy to the scheme and I was aware of it. So yeah, I was a conscientious objector, if you will.
I got you. All right, let people know what you're doing right now in regards to the Chiefs and K-State and if you're aware of exactly how they can follow you and check out what you're doing for them.
Sure, sir. So you can check out the poop show on my Twitter account at Mr. Lecky. And that's always fun. It's Chiefs football, K-State, some bourbon, some food, and some random zany nonsense that goes through my mind. And then also BJ Kiss and we break down every game on Monday afternoons and try and put it out there Monday night. And I think that's a lot of fun. It's about 30-45 minute show and kind of more of a long format. It's a lot of fun, and I'm just really excited for the Cats and the Chiefs this year.
Absolutely. Hey, Nick, thanks for the time. We know you're busy. We appreciate it, and enjoy cheering on the Cats and the Chiefs. We'll talk to you again later down the road, man.
Definitely will, Blade. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Nick Lecky, our guest today on The Sports Ticket.